Thank you so much for taking time to listen to this week's message. It's our hope that this resource will grow you in your faith, hope, and love for Jesus. Please help us get the word out by following us on social media and sharing resources just like this. And if this message has inspired you to take your next step in faith, please let us know by reaching out to us through social media or the church office. We are praying and believing that God will change you through his word today. Blessings.
All right, well, I hope you had a great week with family and friends. I hope that you all overate on turkey and stuffing and pie, and I hope that you got some sleep, because it's time. Y'all, it's Christmas! Come on now! Mariah Carey has unthawed, and she is leading the chorus of all the Christmas classics over the next 25 days. Every streaming service you own is flooding your feed with all the movies and all the Hallmark specials. Amazon is out in full force right now. They're trying to convince you to get that one more thing that you're probably going to regret buying. And as we get closer and closer to December 25th, you're going to experience enough Christmas parties and family gatherings that is going to overstimulate the introverts, and it is going to supercharge the extroverts, all right? It is that season. Hey, even here, we're in, right? We're singing songs. We're lighting candles. Yo, it's Christmas. It's Christmas. It's here. You can feel it. You can see it. But more than anything else, you can hear it. You can hear the season. And if you listen close, like really close, underneath the chaos and underneath the crowds and under all the carols, you know what it kind of sounds like? It kind of sounds like hope. It sounds like hope. Now, we love this idea of hope, don't we? We put it on our coffee cups. We write it in our Christmas cards. We sing about hope. But I think if we could be honest this morning, hope is a little complicated, is it not? Like, hope feels easy when it follows the script. Like when your family leaves you alone again, and then they catch three flights, and they outrun airport security, and your family makes it to New York just in time for Christmas, right? Or how about when your dad doesn't just accept you, but he actually believes you're an elf, and he loves you just the way that you are? Or how about when that Christmas bonus comes in, and it's not Jelly of the Month Club, but it's something that you actually celebrate? Like, in moments like that, is it not true that hope feels effortless? It feels a little natural. It feels kind of obvious, right? But what happens when your life and my life doesn't play out like it does in the movies? What do we do then? Like, what happens when the plans fall apart, your family doesn't make it in time, and what you thought was going to happen for Christmas just doesn't happen? Like, what do we do when the people that we love, they don't celebrate us? And we don't really find family, we just feel a little forgotten. Like, what happens when the bonus doesn't come in, the bills start stacking up, and Jelly of the Month Club, like, that's the least of your problems? What do we do then? Because I think the reality is this, is that real hope, it's not easy. Sometimes, if we're not careful, hope can kind of feel like a setup, right? If we're not careful, hope begins to feel like an invitation only to get hurt again. That for some of us, when we hear this word hope, we're a little cautious because we've been here before. We've let our expectations rise only to watch them fall again. And I think we got to be careful, because that's where hope gets messy. It's this word, expectations. Because I don't know about you, but in the Myers household, we're full swing in Hallmark mode, okay? And I want so bad for my life and your life to look like a Hallmark movie. Like, no matter what happens, no matter how bad it gets, at the end, a snowflake and a kiss, it's going to turn this thing around. But the truth is, listen, real life doesn't work like that. It's not real. And I think we got to understand this morning something I want to say that I think is going to set the tone for us over the next 4 weeks as we head to Christmas Eve. And that's this, is that frustration is the gap between expectation and reality. And despite the fact that we're singing about hope, man, a lot of us are just frustrated. That's where frustration lives, that we have this expectation of what life should look like, of how things should go, and what happens when here's the expectation, here's the reality, and we're living in the in-between, and we call that frustration. And we got to be real careful with frustration, because when that gap between expectation and reality, when that gap gets big enough, what happens is something in us actually starts to change. Is that during this season where we should be more connected than ever, during this season where we should be loving each other and singing songs and doing the things, for many of us, this becomes a season where we pull back, we shut down, and we start checking out. And if we're not careful, this might just become another Christmas season where we tell ourselves, don't hope anymore. That we teach ourselves not to trust. And if you do that long enough, what happens is you stop believing. And so in Isaiah 9, Isaiah describes a people who are experiencing the same kind of frustration that maybe some of us are experiencing right now. In Isaiah 9, 2, it says this, that there was a people who walked in darkness. Not just darkness, but they dwelt in a land of deep darkness. Now, who Isaiah is talking about here, they're not just any kind of people. These are God's people. These are the ones that God chose, that God rescued, that God loved, that God promised a future to. And they're not just having a bad season. This group of people that Isaiah is talking about right now, they are walking through generational darkness. What we know about these people, studying them in the scriptures, is that they are politically oppressed and they are spiritually discouraged. This people, Israel, God's nation, they are constantly surrounded by enemies. They have been led by kings who have failed them over and over again. They have lived in uncertainty and fear, and they have lost their identity, their confidence, and their hope. You see, this group of people that Isaiah is talking about, they know what disappointment feels like. They know it. They have met unmet expectations. And what's heartbreaking is that this people, God's people, they are terrified to hope again. And I just wondered this morning, does that maybe sound a little familiar? That in this season, right, and we're here, the songs are loud and the lights are bright, but some of us today, we cannot see past the darkness that has become our lives. You see, a lot of us are very similar to these people in Isaiah 9, that we know what it's like to carry disappointment. We know what it's like to feel powerless, to feel like God is somehow quiet, and we begin to wonder, will relief ever come into my life? And that frustration right there, that thing, right now, just sitting heavy on your heart, taking up space in your mind, that frustration that is born of what? Unmet expectation. That thing, whatever that thing is for some of us today, if we're not careful and we don't deal with it, it will change us. You see, frustration, it shifts our focus away from our faith. And what frustration does, and what it did for these people in Isaiah 9, is it gets us to believe that maybe the darkness is the real story. That if you're not careful, you get like me and you love the Hallmark movies because they're predictable. It's an hour and a half, and 90% of the movie is nothing but fluff, and it is so cheesy and so bad. And then all of a sudden it turns. And in the last 7 minutes, I know because I've seen five of them this week, in the last 7 minutes, it turns. And we laugh and we love it. But when we turn off Netflix, you know what we realize? It's not real. It's not real. And then if we're not careful and we live in frustration, we can begin to think that maybe the darkness is what's real, not the light. And so what happens You live there long enough, your faith begins to shrink to the size of your disappointments. And so that's why what Isaiah says here is so important to us today. It's the reason why we're going to kick off this series called Advent, that over the next 4 weeks, as we get to Christmas Eve in the Family Life Center, holding candles and singing Silent Night, we are going to tackle this idea of frustration. We're going to go after unmet expectation. And in the middle of all the chaos and all the noise, what we're going to try to do over the next 4 weeks is we're going to try to find the light. And so that's what Isaiah does. Isaiah speaks not into light, but get this. Isaiah speaks into darkness. He speaks into darkness. In Isaiah 9, he speaks into a people who stopped believing that things could be different. He speaks into a people who were told not to hope anymore. And it's right here in the middle of the darkness that God sends a word. In Isaiah 9:2, let's fill the gaps in. Here's what he says, that the people who walked in darkness have what? They have seen a great light. That those who dwelt in a land of deep darkness, on them a light has shone. That in this darkness, Isaiah is speaking a word, that there is a promise, there is a whisper, there is a sound, if you can listen to it. Now, what's interesting about this moment in Isaiah, because I don't know about you, but I'm like an instant reaction kind of guy. Like, I like to solve things now. You know, I like to get it in my hands quickly. I do not like waiting. I'm one of those people that if you call me and say, hey, I got to talk to you about something, I'm like, well, let's talk right now. Like, I am not, let's talk, and then we're going to talk in 2 days. I can't live like that, right? And what's interesting about this moment in Isaiah, Isaiah brings this great promise into the middle of darkness, and nothing gets solved right away. Nothing. That when Isaiah spoke these words, this light that Isaiah is talking about, it does not show up immediately. Matter of fact, if you read the scriptures, the last book of the Old Testament is Malachi. And when Malachi is done being written, there is a gap of 400 years between Malachi and Matthew. 400 years, get this, 400 years of silence. No prophets, no miracles. There is no vision. There is no voices. Generation after generation, for 400 years, there is a nation of people that belong to God that have been born, they have lived, and they have died. 400 years. 400 years of questions, 400 years of wondering, 400 years of waiting, 400 years of nothing. Nothing. And I think if we're honest today, if it's just you and me, we're hanging out, we're drinking some hot chocolate, we're eating some Christmas cookies, if we're just talking, I think if we're honest today, we know exactly what that feels like. Nothing. Right? That we know what it's like to pray and nothing's coming back. Some of us, we have lived long enough in this thing called faith to know what it's like to feel like heaven maybe has gone a little quiet during this time of my life. That as we look at the situations that we're in and the frustrations that we're holding on to, many of us have asked this question, God, are you still there? God, where are you? God, what is going on right now? And when's it going to change? I think some of us, maybe today, as we start off this season, the most wonderful time of the year, as the song says, we just got to be honest at the times that we've had this past year. That some of us, we may be here today and you're in your own 400 season of silence. And that silence, yo, that silence is heavy, is it not? There's a weight to the soul that silence carries. And that waiting, it feels long. And that darkness that Isaiah talks about, a deep, deep darkness, that feels real today. And so that's the reason why Isaiah 9 is so powerful. That's why we're kicking off this Advent series, because what happens in this moment is that God doesn't speak to his people when they're strong. God speaks to his people when they're breaking. God speaks light at the darkest part of the night. And that's because, I don't know if you've ever been there in your life where you've like been in just pitch black, right? There's like no light. It is paralyzing, is it not? To where you can't see anything in front of you, right? And you're walking around like this, because I don't know if y'all stub a toe in the middle of the night. I don't know if there's anything worse than a stub toe. Ruin your sleep for the rest of the night, right? And so it's paralyzing. But you know what happens when it's pitch black? It's quiet. All of a sudden, all your senses are tuned in to everything around you because you can't see, and you can hear everything in the darkness. And it's in this moment, in the darkest time, that a word is spoken. And if you listen, you can hear it. Because, what do we say? Hope has a sound. And that sound, it broke the silence. And it was unexpected, right? If you know anything about the distance between Malachi and Matthew, 400 years of nothing, 400 years of silence, and something very small, very unexpected, and very vulnerable breaks the silence, and it's the cry of a baby in a manger. And this baby breathes its first breath of air, and it cries out. And 400 years of questions, 400 years of waiting, 400 years of wondering, it all goes away. And that cry from that baby on that first Christmas night, it shattered the darkness with light. It split history in half. But more importantly, you know what that cry did? It told the world, not just those who came before, but all of us who would come after. It told the world one thing: God has not forgotten you. God has not forgotten you. Isaiah goes on to tell us that for to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. And in that moment, I need you to get this, in that moment, 400 years of nothing, and then all of a sudden a baby cries, and silence is shattered, and in that moment, hope was not an idea anymore. Hope had a heartbeat, and it had a voice, and it had a face. Hope in that moment had a name. Hope had a name. Isaiah said that this child would be called what? Wonderful Counselor. Wonderful Counselor. So if you look at those two words separated, wonderful here, it means beyond comprehension. It is supernatural. It is extraordinary. We can't fathom it. We can't wrap our minds around it. It's the magic that a child has during this season because their belief is so deep. They don't even need proof. They just need to be in its presence. It's wonderful. And he says, counselor, in this text, counselor, it means the one who guides us, the one who directs, who leads, who speaks into our life. That this child in this manger would grow up to become a man who would become a wonderful counselor. That this child, for me and for you, he would guide us and he would understand us. Because we need both, don't we? Like, I need somebody in my life who not only understands my heart and understands what I'm going through, but I need somebody who can get me through it. I don't need a pep talk. I need a purpose. And Isaiah says he will be called Wonderful Counselor. And he says, and he will also be called Mighty God. The word mighty here, this title, it means warrior. It is hero. It is champion. That this child will grow up and he will not just be strong, but get this, he will be strong on my behalf and your behalf. He will be strong not just for himself, but he will be strong for you. That this child will grow up and he will become a man and he will fight the battles that you and I cannot fight. And he will carry weight that you and I cannot lift. That's what he's going to do. Isaiah says that he will be called the Everlasting Father. That this child who steps into flesh. That this child who will spend the next 30 plus years experiencing everything that you and I would experience, all the highs and lows, all the joys, all the frustration. Hebrews says this child will go through all the things that you and I will have gone through, yet will do it without sin. So when there would be a day where you would be in your frustration, you would be caught in your pain, and you'd be looking for somebody who doesn't just understand you, but that can get you through it, he would be able to do that. And this child who stepped into flesh and cried out on that moment, he is everlasting Father, meaning this, he is the answer to the question, what does God think about me? How does God feel about my sin? Does God even recognize me? Does God even care? That this child who comes and grows up, he will become the expression of God's heart for God's kids. You want to know what makes Christianity so unique outside of so many religions? It's that the God that we worship actually stepped into our life and lived it. So that when you and I were going through things, he could grab us by the hand and said, I've been there and I've gotten through it. Follow me. That this child would grow up and he would encounter the worst of the worst. And the way that he would treat the leper and the prostitute and the poor and the rich would be the way that he would treat us. That he would become everlasting Father, that he would be eternal, he would be unchanging, he would be protecting, and he would be caring. And he would do what every good father should do. That he would never leave, and he will never fail. He's everlasting. He will never leave you, and he will never fail you. And then Isaiah says, this child will be called Prince of Peace. Prince of Peace. If you study scripture, what you're going to discover is this, is that peace is not the absence of problems. It is the presence of a Savior. That is peace. Listen, friend, if you are tired of the problems that you're going through in your life, listen, I got bad news for you. If you can breathe, you're going to have problems, all right? That is life. There will never not be problems. We're either in a season, coming out of a season, or about to go through a season. For some of us, those seasons last way longer than what they should. And for some of us, those seasons, by the grace of God, go quick. But if you are looking for a life, friend, that finds peace absent of problems, I want to lovingly say this to you, you're never going to find it. But there is one. There is one who showed up. There is one who stepped into the darkness. There is one who became light. And he is the Prince of Peace. That he brings peace because in that moment, his presence is enough. That he would go on to say that do not be overcome by this world because I've overcome the world. That this child who become the Prince of Peace, he will steady our hearts and he will guard our minds. And what I love so much about what Isaiah is doing here is he throws out these names. He says, for us a son will be given. For us a child will be born. And he will be Wonderful Counselor. He will be Mighty God. He will be Prince of Peace. Is that every name Isaiah gives is hope in a different direction. It's hope in a different direction. And every name that Isaiah shares, it speaks directly to my disappointments and yours. It speaks directly to my unmet expectations and yours. But more importantly, what these names do is it steps into that space called frustration and it shortens the gap. It lives where we're most exhausted. And it holds us up and says, hey, I'm here. Then another name that we'll cover down the road is this name called Emmanuel, which means God with us. That I am not distant, but I am present. I am not wishful thinking, and I am not some great idea. That I have a heartbeat, and I have a voice, and I have a face, and I have a name. And everything Isaiah is getting us to understand is leading to one truth, and that is this, is that hope has a name, and that name is Jesus. Hope has a name, friends. And that name is Jesus. And what you will find, if you'll just trust him, what you'll find if you let him into that space in your life right now that is frustrated because your expectations are not matching where your reality is, if you will just allow him to be with you. Not just these next 4 weeks, not just this time of year where we put up the tree and we sing the songs and we do the things, but if you would actually commit your life to this man named Jesus, what you will find is that he can be wisdom for your confusion. Why? Because he's the wonderful counselor. That he can be the power in your weakness. Why? Because he is the mighty God. That he can be the presence in your loneliness because he is everlasting Father. And he can be the calm that is your chaos because he is the Prince of Peace. And what I want to encourage you with today as we kick off Advent season is this. If that is his name, if hope has a name and that name is Jesus, then I want you to know today, hope is still possible, even for you. Hope is still possible, even for you. Now, we're having hot chocolate, we're eating Christmas cookies, and you look at me and you go, Adam, you don't know my life, you don't know where I've been through, you don't know what I've seen. And you're right, I don't. But I know him. And I know my life is different than your life, and where God's led me is different where God has led you, but I know at the same thing is that we are all going to be led to the same place, and that's the feet of Jesus. That every road, every situation, every circumstance, it leads to Jesus because he is wonderful counselor. He is mighty God. He is everlasting Father. He is Prince of Peace. And here's the thing I want you to understand about hope as we start to close out this service this morning is this, is that hope is not pretending that everything is fine. That's not hope. That's just weird. Doesn't make any sense. It's just faking it. It's just putting on this weird smile and just struggling through the holidays. And you know the problem about struggling through the holidays is that when Christmas is over, you struggle into the new year. And then you struggle into the next season. And if you're not careful, you will struggle through life, friends. So hope is not pretending that everything is fine. And hope is not denying the pain that's in your life. Hey, let's call it out. Y'all, if you're going through some stuff today, it's okay to say, I'm not okay. I'm struggling. I'm hurting. It's been a bad month. It's been a bad week. It's been a bad year. We can't change any of those things that have happened. But what we can do this morning is we can put our hope not in optimism, not in a maybe, not in a hope so, but this morning what you and I can do is we can put hope in a name. It's the name that's above all names. It's a name that despite the brokenness of this world for over 2,000 years, they have not been able to get rid of that name. And that name is Jesus. And so hope today for me and maybe hope for you would be realizing that God can still do something with what you're walking through right now, friend. That's what I tell you. If it's just me and you, there'd be this weird moment, I'd grab your hand, we'd lock eyes, and I tell you with full confidence and full assurance that the same Jesus who stepped into flesh, lived a hard but perfect life, that he picked up a cross that belonged to me and belonged to you, and he carried it up to Calvary. And when they nailed him on the cross, he carried every sin, every brokenness, every mistake by me and every mistake done to me. And when he spoke the words, "It is finished," he took care of all of it. And 3 days later, there was a sound that broke the silence again. And it was the sound of a risen Savior taking a breath. And when he did, death was defeated. Hell was defeated. Sin was defeated. And so I would look you in the eye and I'd grab you by the hand and I would say this to you. If he could conquer your sin and if he could walk out of your grave, I promise you, friend, whatever you're going through right now, he can get you through it. Hope it has a sound to it. And if you listen really close, like really close, in the darkness, you can hear it. There was this old church in Chicago, and they just hired this new pastor. And he noticed that the piano on the stage, this massive grand piano, it had become an eyesore. It was out of tune, and it was falling apart. And so he thought, hey, what a better way to start my tenure as pastor? I'm going to replace this old piano with a brand new one. So the pastor, he made a couple phone calls, and he invited two local piano salesmen to come and to take a look at the piano to see maybe what he could trade it for, what he could sell it for. So the first salesman comes in, walks up to the piano, and plays a couple notes, he takes some measurements, he pops the top, looks inside. Then he walks up to the pastor and he says, sir, if you trade me this piano, I will give you any piano in my shop. Pastor goes, any piano? Any piano. Well, if it's too good to be true, right? So he says, well, I've got another man coming in later today. Let me talk to him. So the second salesman comes in and he does the same thing the first salesman does. He plays a couple notes. He takes some measurements. He pops the top. He looks inside the piano. He walks up and he says, sir, he goes, if you bring this piano to me, I will give you any piano you want in my store. Now, this pastor, he is no fool. So he decides to hit the pause button. He's going to call timeout, and he's going to bring in a technician. He needs an unbiased opinion. And so he brings in a piano technician, and the piano technician does exactly what the other two salesmen did. He plays the notes. He takes the measurements. He pops the top. He looks in, and the technician, he walks up to the pastor, and he goes, sir, he goes, what did they offer you for this piano? He said, well, they said that I could bring it and I could get any piano from their store that I wanted. And he said, sir, I need you to come with me a second. So the pastor walks up and he pops the top and he looks in. He goes, sir, do you see the name on the inside of this piano right here? He goes, that's a Steinway. He goes, sir, you see the serial number beside that name? He goes, pastor, there were only so many of these pianos that were made and very few exist today. He said, sir, as long as that name is on that piano, it is more valuable than all the pianos in both of those stores combined. And the pastor, he took a step back and he goes, what? He goes, this piano, he goes, it's just a piece of junk. He goes, it is now. He goes, but if you restore it, it will become invaluable. You see, what the salesman knew, what the technician knew, what the pastor eventually found out was they were not looking at the value of a broken piano. They were looking at the value of a piano restored. Get this, as long as that name was inside that piano, it held all the value in the world. And I share that story to share this with you, is that if you listen close, you can hear it. Hope has a name. And that name is Jesus. He is the one that shattered the darkness with light. He is the one who pierced the darkness. He broke the silence. He is the promise. Get this. Jesus is the physical promise that God kept. I have not forgotten you. And as long as you hold the name of Jesus, there is infinite value in your life. I promise you that. That whatever you're going through right now, I promise it can be found. I promise you it can be restored.